A successful year would just be to keep improving, I suppose. To keep improving, to keep learning, and just doing the basics right, I suppose, and getting better. And if I could come away with winning something at the end of the year, that would be wonderful.
Welcome to the British Continental Podcast, brought to you by Continental. Continental have been supporters of the domestic road scene for over 25 years. The go-to tyre brand for elite riders, from the off-camber cobbled corners of the Durham Tour Series to the farm tracks of the Cycle Classic.
Hello and welcome to the British Continental. This is our second episode in Series 3, and today we have an interview with Lewis Askey. In our opinion, Lewis is one of the brightest under-23 prospects around. Just 19 years old and now into his second year in the under-23 ranks, Lewis rides for the Continental-level Groupama FDJ development team, along with new signing Joe Pidcock, younger brother of Tom. The team is only in its third year, but has already proven to be a centre of excellence for developing young riders, having been home to Lewis's fellow Brit Jake Stewart before he stepped up to the World Tour parent team this season. It's a path we think Lewis has the potential to follow. He first came to our attention back in 2018 when he won the Junior Paris-Roubaix as a first-year junior. The following year, he consolidated his position as one of the most exciting junior talents in the cycling world by taking victory in the Junior Tour of Wales, the UK's most prestigious junior stage race. The race is so often a marker for future success, with recent winners including Ben Tullett, Tom Pidcock, Fred Wright, Eddie Dunbar and Hugh Carthy, to name but a few. Last year, Lewis put together a really solid season, despite the interrupted race schedule, including an attacking display in Les Amines early in the season, and 10th in the under-23 Paris Tour towards the end of the year. In between times, he rode two of the toughest under-23 stage races around, the Baby Giro, where he put in a fine display of teamwork, and the Ronde de l'Isard. And yes, for those of you wondering where they are, we will finally be publishing Lewis's diaries from that race soon. Talking of diaries, Lewis will be keeping a diary of sorts on the podcast this year. We'll be checking in with him throughout the season to see how his year progresses. This first catch-up with Lewis was recorded a couple of weeks ago whilst he was on training camp with the team in Italy. We take a look back at how things have gone for him over the last few months, his winter dabbling with cyclocross, what life on team camp has been like, and what his goals are for 2021. Before we begin the show, just one plug today. If you like what we do and would like to support us, feel free to visit our shop where you can buy British Continental logo tees and sweatshirts. The clothing is organic and printed on demand in a renewable energy powered factory, and all the proceeds will be put back into making the British Continental as good as it possibly can be. That's it. Over to the interview with Lewis now. Welcome, Lewis, to the British Continental. This is going to be hopefully the first of a few interviews we do with you throughout the season to kind of track your journey. Just explain to the listeners where you're based at the moment. Where are you?
So, well, right at this second, I am fortunate enough to be in Italy on a training camp with the team, the first training camp of the year. We were supposed to be down in Spain, but with everything going on, it's been a last minute change to be in Italy, and I suppose it's new roads. And yeah, I'm quite lucky to be out here. It's quite good for my head after being in lockdown for however long in the UK. And then next week we'll be going back over to back to Besançon, which is where I'll be based for the season in France.
Okay. And what does training camp look like at the Groupama FDJ Conti team?
At the moment, it has been a fair few hours, I suppose. Some testing, 20-minute test, 30-second sprints, 10-second sprints off the bike. And that's that, and quite a few hours on the bike. That's pretty much what we've done so far. So I'm on my first rest day. The first part of the camp is done. So I felt like I needed it. Yesterday was a good old day. We did some overgeared stuff in a 5-and-a-bit-hour ride with a stupid amount of elevation. So I am enjoying my rest day today, where I've still been busy, really, because went out for a ride, and then we had photos for the team out on the ride, everyone gets sort of individual photos. And then we've had shooting when we got back at the hotel also for sort of, you know, them like the, I suppose, the profile picture sort of photo. And then I'm up here speaking to you.
Great. And whereabouts in Italy are you?
I don't know how to pronounce this. It's Alassio, maybe. Okay. So it's just across from Monaco, I suppose. I say just across. I don't know how many hours is just, but it's sort of just, yeah, just across from there.
So near San Remo, I guess?
Yes, we are not far. I don't know how far we are, but I'm pretty sure we're around sort of the Poggio and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. All right. It's nice riding around there.
Hilly.
Yeah. I've based myself down in Nice, so I kind of done some of those roads. You can kind of nip across the border from there.
Apart from the roads haven't been, the roads have been all right, but then we've also went up a road yesterday that was every, I don't know, 50 meters, it was like covered in snow. And then another bit, there was like a landslide. And then we on the descent, it was like perfectly beautiful road. And then it just turned into like a downhill mountain bike course. And then it was beautiful road again. And then a downhill mountain bike course. So I don't, the roads have been a bit unpredictable.
Okay. I guess your cyclocross skills come in handy for that kind of terrain.
Yeah. It was quite good. The other day we were descended from the top of this mountain, and some guys were, obviously it's different, not, I don't know if it's abilities, but different ways people approach a sketchy descent. And it was like, when we got to the bottom, there was a few of us and we did our next effort, and we must have waited like 15, 20 minutes for the next guys. Cause obviously it's like a 15K descent or something like that. And when it's a bit like cyclocross all the way down, it was, the team was just like split in two completely.
So, and you made the fun group. So yeah.
I made it.
Yeah. Proving cyclocross can improve your road handling skills.
Yeah.
Okay. And I guess a few new teammates to get to know on training camp too.
Yeah, that's been, I suppose it's quite, I quite enjoy it. I quite enjoy meeting new people, and most of the guys that, there's not many guys that you meet within sport that are not decent guys. If you sort of, they're not decent guys really. So it's always quite nice to get to know the new teammates. And especially when we've been locked down for so long, for me to come out here and be able to just speak to different people and meet new people and talk, it's just been, it's been needed.
And what does it feel like, because to not be the newbie anymore?
Yeah, it's because I'm still quite young in the team. I'm still, because obviously the new guys that came aren't just all younger than me. It's like they sign fourth year under 23s and third year under 23s as well. So I'm still quite young in the team, but I sort of, it feels so different, because last year I was, I suppose it was all new and I was nervous and I was not wanting to impress, but just being, just making sure I'm doing everything right and stressed that I'm, don't do this, or what's this person like? And if I say this to this person, is it going to be bad? Or I don't know. Whereas this year I'm just, it sort of feels like home. It sort of feels like it's where I'm supposed to. I just feel good and at home in the team. So it's quite nice.
Mm. Yeah. And you've got Joe Pidcock joining the team this season.
Yeah.
Tom's younger brother. Have you kind of been getting to know him? Did you know much about him before?
Yeah. I knew Joe before. So it was me and Jake. I didn't know Jake actually at all last year, even though we lived quite close to each other. It was like the first time I'd really met Jake last year. So I've been, I suppose, I don't know if it's like not showing him the ropes, but he's not quite there with the French yet, so I've been helping him out a little bit with regards to some things. But luckily we already know, so we drove over together. I had a bit of a mare getting over the Eurotunnel with everything that was going on, but I had someone to talk to all the way over, so that was all right.
And what language is used in the camp?
So it's French, but it's, yeah, it's mainly French, but they do the most important things following in English. So if there's something that, because there's obviously guys from like Estonia, and there's guys from Italy, and there's guys from, so there's a lot of guys that don't know any French, and their first language isn't English, but they can speak some English. So it's, some of them can only understand if you tell them, if you speak a little bit of an English. So they, yeah, they, the main thing is in French, and they're trying to do it more so this year than last year to speak more in French. Last year it was, I'd say, like 50-50. It was, they'd speak in French and then they'd speak in English. This year it's a bit more like, right, you understand the French, and we'll, you'll get by if you know the English, sort of thing. So it's, because I think it is good in a way, because you don't want to, you know, you're not going to learn anything if you don't have to learn anything, if it's not a necessity. Like, if I could get by by just the same, by just speaking English, then I wouldn't feel the need to learn French. But I've, yeah, put the effort in to try and learn a bit of French, and it feels so much better this year, because I can actually understand so much more that's going on. And it just gives me the motivation to actually learn then, because no one wants to learn just out of a book, where I'm sort of at the level now where I can learn by just speaking with people, which is so much more fun. But yeah, so the as you're riding, it's English and French. As you're riding along, I try and speak French with as many people as I can, just because, like I said, that's me learning again as well. But there is quite a few English speakers now, with like me, Joe, the Kiwis are here also this year. Wright from Estonia, he speaks English. The Dutch guys speak English as well. So, yeah.
And what language is spoken in the team car? I mean, when you're, you know, if you're on race radio, do you use
French.
Race radio actually? Your level of racing?
French. No, yeah. But in the, yeah, yeah, yeah. In the, we do a couple of races in the year where we get to use race radio. And yeah, it's all French. With that, I still don't know if I'll be good enough to understand, because because the radio is hard enough to understand when it's in your own language. But when you get in, when there's, yeah, it's manic and it's going on, and then it's some, I don't know, a decision's been made quick and they're shouting it down the radio and it's in French. Oh, maybe they're using like French slang or something as well. I don't know if I'm quite that, I'm quite there yet.
So it's not good enough just to understand peloton, echelon, and all the other French words that we
unfortunately not.
Okay, so you're kind of halfway through training camp. Just going back a few months, how's your off season been? I mean, we obviously last caught up with you at the Baby Giro, and hopefully we'll have the episode, your diary, out very soon. But how would you kind of describe your off season?
It was very tame, I suppose you could say, as far as off seasons can go. I think the same as everyone, so there's not much you can do. And yeah, like I've said before, it was pretty, this off season was harder than anything I've not, well, yeah, it was pretty hard, basically, not being able to go out. And I'm quite a social person, I suppose. I don't know. More than I thought, I suppose. I missed being able to just chat to people and go out and do stuff. So I was all right for the first bit, but with the weather, I think, as well, that second lockdown just was, yeah, I think we all had crappy moments in it. And I suppose off season's supposed to be where you go and have fun and let yourself go a little bit and do different stuff that you don't get to do in the season. And yeah, none of that happened.
Do you think that will have an effect on you kind of later on in the season? You know, do you think you'd be wanting to let your hair down, or kind of, you know, approach things slightly differently?
No, I'm quite, at the end of the day, I don't, racing for me isn't a chore. Like, that's what I love to do. So for me to be in the best shape for a race, that makes me happy to be in that way. So, and I don't, if I'm honest, I don't feel like I deserve, I haven't done enough. Like, I I quite enjoy living a healthy lifestyle and eating well, sleeping well. So I think, I mean, when stuff starts opening up, even just something as stupid as like going out to a restaurant or going to the cinema would be something that's just like, and yeah, for me now I'm in such a better position because everyone around me is tested for COVID all the time. So where we are, it's sort of, it almost doesn't feel like there's much going on with COVID. Obviously you're wearing your face masks to different places, but it almost is running like normal, like it would be without it, because this is the group of people I'd be with, spending my time with and working with anyway. And because everyone's in that sort of bubble, it almost feels normal. So I don't think it wouldn't be like, oh, I get into the main bit of the season and I'm starting to crack because I'm thinking, oh, it's been so long and I haven't had that in the off season. If I'm honest, I'm not really a massive off season. Like, it's not like I desperately need it. It's just that I think because of the way this lockdown's been, it's just felt more. I probably miss less than I actually am believing in my head. I think it's more the fact that you can't, and obviously there's nothing I want to do more than something I'm not allowed to do. I think that's just a natural thing for, I don't know if that is a natural thing for other people, but for me, that's a, like, it's just a weird thing that if someone tells you can't do something, that's like, you know, if someone tells me, oh, there's no chance you're winning that race, all I want to do is win that race. Or like, that's when, like, last year my dad told me, he was like, oh, I don't think you'll be able to run a marathon. So I went and ran a marathon in that off season, and I don't know. So yeah.
Wow, I didn't know you had that string to your bow. One thing you did do this off season though was dabble with cyclocross again. You rode the Europeans. What kind of motivated you to try a bit of the cross again?
I think for me it was, I like keeping stuff different. Just the season, I suppose the off season I knew was going to be quite long, and to get the chance to have a little, like, to progress, to keep the form I had a little bit further into the season, so I didn't have to have a massive winter of training with no racing. I just like racing cross, and I like to put myself up against the best in the world and see where I'm at. I wasn't there this year. I rode all right at Euros. I think I was on for a top, you know, top 10, 8th, 9th. I was sort of riding that sort of pace, but I had a decent old crash there, started in a rubbish place in the grid, and sort of put me back down to, I don't know where I finished, 15, 16, something like that. But I was riding all right there, but yeah, I wasn't at the point at the end of the races, which is where I want to be. So I'd like to have a go next year, if I get the chance. But again, it's so dependent on what goes on with racing and everything. For me, it's just something different. I like to race, and a winter without racing's like a bit boring, I suppose, for me. So the cross is just, I suppose it's all, I think it's just a different effort as well. I think it's good training. I think it's good to keep you fresh, to keep your mind fresh. And it's so different to road racing. I suppose it can't be harmful.
Do you ever kind of think about trying to cyclocross kind of, you know, fully committed one winter? I mean, you were obviously a very talented cyclocross rider, junior level. I'm clearly still having your talent.
I don't know, because I had that season as a junior where I was always at the pointy end of the race, no matter what the course was, and I really enjoyed it. But since then, I haven't shown the same to myself. I haven't shown the same promise. I don't know. I haven't been there again. Obviously, when I'm coming in at the bottom age of under 23, but next year, maybe I can have a shot at doing it. I think now we're talking about it, I'm going to have to, because I want to perform again. I want to be up there in a cross race. So I like to be able to be versatile in what I can do. and I don't like not being good at something. So maybe I'll have to hold my form from the road season or something like that, and try a few and see where I'm at next year.
Great. Well, that'd be something to look forward to. We haven't talked about the B word yet, Brexit. How has that impacted on your kind of ability to kind of, and your planning for the year, really? I mean, the 90-day rule is something that a lot of cyclists have been talking about on social media.
Yeah.
How's it affected you?
Well, I think for me, Brexit is just, it just makes things more difficult for me. It's just, there's just more paperwork, more stress, everything's more effort. You know, it's not the freedom of that's nice to have when you're a professional athlete going from country to country and stuff. Luckily for me, I do live in France and I am paid by a French team. I pay French taxes, all that stuff. So the team, again, we're really lucky in the team because it's sort of joint with the World Tour. We have all the staff to deal with this sort of stuff. And I think they've had their work cut out for them this year, with us lot being a pain in the arse for them, I think. But they've, I think, what's at the moment, I've came over and I don't have anything sorted yet. But I'm at the moment in the process of applying for a visa. A visa because I'll be a resident in France, and then once I'm a resident in France, because I also lived here last year, I think for me the process is going to be a bit easier because I lived here last year and I'm living there this year and I pay my taxes and all that sort of stuff in France. I think me being a resident in France makes it easier, and it's not about that 90-day stuff. But as you can tell from my very convincing answer, I don't really know. But I know the team's on it, so that's
good. Yeah. So as far as you understand, you'll essentially be a resident at some point this year in France, and that will enable you to presumably kind of live there for as long as you need.
Yeah, well, because I lived here last year as well, and I'm living here this year. So, as far as my knowledge, I'm then going to be a resident in France, and then we're good.
Excellent. And why was the... dare I ask, but why was the trip over so stressful?
Because I got, so obviously you need a COVID test to get anywhere, basically, to get across the tunnel. And after getting every single form we needed, everything, there was quite a few other forms we needed to get over. We sorted all that out, and I got up at 3 o'clock that morning, drove down to the Eurotunnel, met Joe to pick him up, and then was getting a bit stressed getting closer to my Eurotunnel crossing time that my COVID results still haven't come through. And basically I had sent, so I did one of them at home COVID tests where you send it off and then it gets tested and then you get your results. So obviously I sent that special delivery, so it's guaranteed to get to the lab before 1 p.m. the next day, and that would have sorted me out fine for to get my results to go across. And as luck would have it, it took 4 days for my parcel package COVID sample to get to the place. So I turn up to the Eurotunnel and I get an email saying, we've just received your sample. And I'm like, oh, that's awesome. I've been driving for 5-6 hours and I've now can't get across the tunnel. So I've already booked my tunnel, obviously, and I'm there. So I'm like on my phone googling super quick, like, what can I do? And they do a 3-hour COVID test at Heathrow Airport. It's like £200. So I'm at the Eurotunnel pretty much, and I booked this COVID test the other side of London, and drive all the way back to the other side of London, get my COVID test, rebook my Eurotunnel, drive all the way back down to the Eurotunnel, pray that my COVID test is still fine, and then get the Eurotunnel across. So my day that was only supposed to, well, it was a bit of a hack anyway, but my day wasn't supposed to be that bad, hence why I got up so early. I should have been there for like a late dinner time down in the south of France, and we didn't end up getting there until maybe 9 o'clock at night. So it was I was sort of driving or up and about for from 3 o'clock till 9 o'clock on that day. So it was a big old day, but we made it and all's good now. So I wasn't expecting it to go swimmingly. Never does.
Wow, quite the adventure. But you made it, which is the main thing.
Yeah.
So I think you mentioned just earlier, so once training camp finishes, then you move over to Besançon. And were you there, essentially be there for the rest of the year? Because that's kind of where you're based.
Yeah, that's where we're based from, yeah. And obviously we're based from Besançon, and then hopefully, fingers crossed, there's races most weekends, and we sort of travel from there, stop at the race hotels, and then come back to there and do maybe specific training on the TT bikes or with the motos there, and because it's where the service course is and all the trainers are, and where all the team is as well. And then maybe a few times in the year, depending on what's going on, I'll get to come back home for a few weeks and then head back out again. So, yeah.
And is the World Tour team there too? I mean, I guess in particular, will Jake be a neighbour still?
No. So when you're World Tour, it's you pretty much live wherever you fancy. And so the World Tour service course is based in Paris, and everyone else is sort of dotted about. There might be clusters of them that live close together, but you can live where you want. You basically just come in for your training camps, your races, your testing, all that sort of stuff. But you're living wherever you decide to buy a house.
Okay, so and obviously you love racing, you said earlier.
Yeah.
Do you know when your first race will be yet?
I don't know when my first race will be. I have my meeting tomorrow to find out what's going on. So I don't actually know what the schedule is for me at the moment. I'm hoping, I'd love to race Samien, I don't know how you pronounce it, again.
Yeah.
Like I did last year, that would be pretty cool. So I think if I get to race that will be my first race. That'll be where I kick off my season. And then I think I'm hearing that there's not loads going on in March with some races getting cancelled. So I think it might be getting better after then. But I think for March, there's not loads going on.
Yeah, I was looking at the calendar yesterday, and I think the Youngster Coast Challenge is still happening. I think your team's racing that one. But the Flanders has been cancelled, which is obviously a Nations Cup race. But yeah, there's quite a few under 23 races which seem to be disappearing from the calendar early on.
But again, we're quite lucky that the World Tour races tend to go ahead, and we get to jump in some of them. But obviously, there's however many of us on the Conti team, so we can't all race at the same time. But we do at least have the option to get some races in if there's nothing else really going on.
Yeah. Is that something you think you'll get more of an opportunity to do this year?
I don't know. I got to race two or three races with them last year, so I don't know how it'll probably be similar. Obviously, well, if there's more of a full season, it will be more races I get to race with them. But yeah, they do really try and mix and match what's going on, give us all the experience to race with the World Tour and see how that's going. So yeah, I think the plans are the same for this year as they were for last year, that gets to happen.
Great. And Le Samin would be a great race to start your season with. I remember watching that on television last year and seeing you at the front of the race quite a bit, particularly, you know, I think from maybe my recollection might be wrong, from around 50-40k to go, you were really quite aggressive.
And then it all went to pieces.
But pretty impressive for a first year under 23, taking it to the World Tour guys and kind of holding their own, at least until towards the end of the race.
Yeah, for me, it's just that endurance towards the end of the race. I think that's normal. I hope that will come. But I think the main reason is just because I tend to be fairly good at putting myself in the right place at the right time. So when it's a race like that can split up over cobbles, and because it was wet last year as well, when I was in the right place at the right time and then took a few corners fast, you just pop up in the right places and it looks like you're going all right. So yeah, it'd be cool if I get to do that again.
Great. And do you have any kind of goals or objectives for the season?
No. I mean, it's a bit, I don't want to get my hopes up and say, this is what I want to win. This is what I want to do. This is where I want to be. Because if it all gets cancelled, it's not going to be great for my head. But I'd love to race Roubaix. I've said that before. I'd love to race Roubaix, see where I can see what I can do really in that. I'd love to win that race as an under 23. Mm. I suppose that's out of anything. I don't know why at under 23 I haven't really got them goals yet. But if there was any goals that I did have, that is definitely one that would be the first that come to mind for Roubaix. So yeah, I suppose Roubaix really, if I get to race that, if that's on, that'll be a goal to at least be on good form for, even if I don't come away with a result.
Yeah.
Because maybe it's something I can do well in.
And of course that's not until May, so hopefully the situation will be a little better by then and you get
fingers
to
crossed. Yeah.
And I mean, and looking back on last season, I mean, obviously it's such an unusual way to start your under 23 career. Didn't really have a full season. Although you did get to ride the Giro and, you know, as you say, you joined the World Tour team a couple of times. I mean, do you feel like you haven't really got going yet? I mean, do you feel like you've still, you know, yeah.
No, what, feeling not, a bit like... not really, because I was really lucky, like I said, last year. I came out, did a few races, went back, spent some time with my family and some... We were lucky in the UK. We had good weather at that time and came back out and got to race a full season like it was full gas from when I came out all the way until October. So I don't feel like I'm still first year under 23 and need to get my races. And I feel like I have experience a big variety of races as well. Like I've raced stage races like Giro and I've raced single day races like Paris Tour and Skelder. Preach prize, I don't know how you say it. So yeah, I know I feel well into my under 23 time. But yeah, I suppose it is weird because last year it was like a big, when you come to under 23, you're suddenly going from where you're just in 2 year age categories to 4 year age cat. So it's quite a big thing, I suppose, when you normally like thinking, oh, I'm bottom year, you know, next year is going to be when I can sort of perform, and then you're racing guys 3 years older than you. But this, it doesn't seem to feel like that this year. Not that I've started racing yet, but just, you know, like with everyone in the team, I sort of feels it's like where I should be. I don't know.
Great. Right. Final question then, Lewis. What would a successful 2021 look like for you, do you think?
If I won a race, that would be good. That would be successful. But I'd love to... I'm trying to work a bit on getting a bit faster because I'm fairly strong. I put myself in the right position at the right time. But last year I didn't, I think I could have done better when I was sprinting. So I'm trying to work a bit on that this year. So hopefully if I put myself in the right place at the right time again, I can come away with a podium or a result at a stage of something or a one day race or whatever. I'd love to, yeah. To come for me personally, I'd love to come away with something like that. But again, it might be. I tend to do quite a good job of putting people in the right, other people in the right place at the right time. If it's not me going for the day as well, so a successful year would just be to keep improving, I suppose. To keep improving, to keep learning, and just doing the basics right, I suppose, and getting better. And what will be from there. But yeah, really. If I could come away with winning something at the end of the year, that would be wonderful.
Brilliant. Okay, well, we'll leave it there, Lewis. We'll obviously catch up with you later on in the season, but really appreciate you taking time out of your training camp. And good luck in your first race.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, then please do leave us a nice review. You can subscribe on all the usual channels and you can follow us on social media. On Twitter, we are @BritishConti, and on Instagram, we are @TheBritishContinental. And please do visit our website for more interviews, journals, previews and news at thebritishcontinental.co.uk.